You're listening to Signal to Noise on the Pro Sound Web Podcast Network. This episode is brought to you by the following sponsors: Allen & Heath and their new CQ series, a trio of compact digital mixers for musicians and bands, audio engineers, home producers, small venues, and AV installers, placing ease of use and speed of setup at the heart of the user experience. RCF, who just unveiled their new TT Plus audio brand, including the high-performance GTX series line arrays, and the GTS-29 subwoofer. Be sure to check it out at rcf-usa.com. That's rcf-usa.com. I wish I could break free, back to where I'm supposed to be.
I wish I could break free, back to where Hey everybody, welcome to this week's episode of Signal to Noise. As always, you're stuck with me, your host, Andy Levis, and with me, back fresh from vacation, and we'll go with freshly rested, even though it's probably more like crazy jet-lagged, Sean Walker. What's up? Which is it, dude?
That's both very bit, yeah. Mentally both, rested both, and both also jet-lagged like a motherfucker.
Yeah, because that was, what, 6 hours? 6 hours ahead of me, so what is that, 9 hours ahead for you?
Yeah, it was 9 hours ahead in Italy.
Yeah, and so let's see, it's two, so it's like 11 o'clock at night for your body right now.
Yeah, dude, and I live on the opposite side of the world, so it was like 9 hours and 20 minutes from Seattle to Heathrow, and then another 4 hour layover, and then 2 hours to Milan.
Woof.
So the kids were troopers, dude. They're 6 and 9, so they're young, but you know, we all made it, and dude, it was a lot of flying. It's a lot of time to be sitting in a small ass seat. I'm 6'2", and those seats are not made for dudes my height, you know?
Dude, I'm 5. We'll go with 5'8". That's what I claim on my license. And those seats are barely made for me these days.
Yeah, right. Totally.
I made the mistake on a flight recently of, like, I normally do the window seat. I forgot that I was on one of those narrow ass commuter planes where the window seat, if you've got somebody slightly broader shouldered than normal next to you, the window seat sucks because you're like bent over halfway.
Right.
So I've learned to be more thoughtful about when I choose to not take the window seat now.
Yeah, there you go.
So we took last week off, just cause Sean was away and I was just going crazy with work and stuff and all over the place and a little under the weather. So, now we're back. I still sound slightly congested cause it is the start of allergy season here in the warmer climates, but, we're going to do it and we're just going to catch up cause I know, so this trip was mostly for fun, right? There's some business on that, but I don't know, was the business the reason for the trip and we tagged a vacation on to it?
That's exactly it. Yeah, the business was the reason for the trip, and then we happened to tag a few extra days onto it to go run around and do a family vacation. Without getting too personal or too deep into it, when my wife and I got married, we didn't have a honeymoon. I went right back to work, you know what I mean? Like,
gotcha.
I've been ripping for more than a decade trying to, you know, build a company and ensure my kids could eat and such. And so we haven't really had any family vacations or anything. So we, you know, had the opportunity to marry a little bit of business, a little bit of pleasure and get our first family vacation in, which was dope.
There you go.
And so we went.
And that's, we had that episode with Kenny a couple of weeks ago that you should listen to for that divorce prevention plan. But, That was a big thing Kenny was behind, is like, even when you're working, if you got a work thing, you can bring the family along, fucking do it.
Dude, totally. And I'm sure.
Although Kenny said it's slightly more PG rated than that.
I don't really have a PG filter. My kids keep trying to do a cuss pot and I'm like, I'd be broke. I can't do it. Like,
he's like, see this vacation?
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. We have to cuss pot out. Yeah.
But so, I was going to say, like, what was the work related thing? I'll pretend I don't know, so we can we can talk about what it was.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, the work related thing was I went to go visit the RCF factory. I flew into Milan and then took a bullet train down to Reggio Emilia where RCF is and went and toured their factory, which was pretty freaking cool, dude. I had no idea that so much of it was handmade in Italy. I mistakenly thought there was more. I'm going to call it offshore manufacturing than really was there. The majority of that product line or company or whatever is all basically handmade in Italy, which is freaking sweet. And the whole factory was full of women building all this stuff, which my wife thought was the coolest thing she'd ever seen in her life. You know, the kids could care less. They were like, take me out to the demo field so they could, you know, they wouldn't ran around the demo field while the.
Oh, so you like took the whole family with you to the factory?
Oh yeah, dude, totally. Nice. And they were, dude, they were so nice and kind and accommodating.
Awesome. It was awesome. I feel like we should say up front, while RCF is a sponsor of the show, they did not put us up to this. Like, just Sean was telling me about the trip, and I was like, we got to tell everybody about this. This is awesome.
Totally. And they did not pay for my trip. This is all out of my pocket, and I wanted to go see what I'm buying into, because my company recently sold another manufacturer's PA and bought a bunch of RCF stuff, and it works awesome for us. You know what I mean? I'm super happy with my purchase, but I wanted to know more about it and like see where it comes from. And you know, I'm kind of on a kind of support people that are trying to do a good job kick, as it were, whatever that means. You know what I mean? And they really give a shit. You know, they're trying to do a good job. That's awesome. Within the budget constraints they've got for their product lines. You know what I mean? And so I wanted to go check it out, dude. And so Tarek at RCF was nice enough to set me up with some cats down there and go run to the factory. And Antonio was nice enough to come pick us up at the train station and tote us around and give me the walkthrough of all the buildings. And they basically have a little city built there where it's multiple buildings in Reggio Emilia, Italy. And some of them are making the speaker boxes. Some of them are doing the high frequency drivers and the low frequency drivers and the testing and the boxing and the shipping and the, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, wow.
But it was cool to like, you know, I don't know, man. I've never manufactured anything. I don't know what that looks like. I've never worked in a factory. But to walk through the thing and see how, like, first of all, how clean the whole place was, which was sweet, like inside and out, not just the factory floor itself, but like the whole campus was like spotless clean, which was cool. Different than if you're walking through Rome, by the way, which is not spotless clean. And then to see like everybody was in a good mood, having a good time. Like it wasn't like there are some manufacturers of in a whole different category here where when we're in working for them as our sound company, you know what I mean? They make a totally different kind of product. But when we're in work for them, everybody's not super excited. You know what I mean? And it's a job, totally. I think their product is super cool, and everybody has been on their product. You know what I mean? So I don't want to like, I don't want to get myself in trouble. You know what I mean? But like, they're not excited about their product. They're not excited about their company. And it's always like, I'm stoked to go to the shows because the product is cool, but like the people are not excited to be there. Where this was the opposite, where the product is cool and the people were all as stoked as you could be to have a factory job. You know what I mean? They were like passionate about making good speakers and doing a good job, and everybody had a smile on their face and was like, they were having a good time, which was cool. And being, you know, precise. And so I got to see the you know, computer programs where they were like, hey man, here's how many passes and here's how many failures for each particular component or each thing in the components, or you know what I mean? So as they're making the like the high frequency drivers, you're like, here's how many we ran in this run and here's how many passed and here's how many failed. And it was cool to see that, like, you know, of let's say 700 and something that they ran, there was two failures or something, right? You know what I mean? In a batch. And they're like, cool, those get pulled out and thrown away. We don't want those going to our customers. And they had one batch where it was like, oh, well, there was, you know, X, Y, or Z, and there was a higher number of failures, and they were like, this whole batch, we just yarded that motherfucker out and weren't even going to let that see the light of day because nobody needs to deal with that. You know what I mean? And so they do a bunch of that QC ahead of time, or they're like, oh, we tried this new material and that's not working or something. So we're not going to, you know, we're not going to Microsoft this and make everybody fix it with Band-Aids later. We're going to get it done on the front end and make sure it works the first time and not have a bunch of problems later. Which I thought was super duper cool, dude. And I really appreciate that, being a sound company owner, not being their guinea pig, right? Not being the like test lab for them where out on a show, half my PA doesn't work because they didn't want to test it in the shop or they wanted to just ship more boxes. But that when it shows up at my shop, it works, or anybody's shop in the world, right? There's nothing particularly special about my shop when it comes to RCF other than, you know, we like them and they work well for us. But I was really inspired that they do a good job and they give a shit. You know what I mean? It was very cool. And it was cool to like be able to walk outside and hear them testing the new GTX 12 rig and hear the new firmware because they were working on firmware updates and designs because they've got a demo rig going up to the UK. And so Andy from the UK was down and it was cool to see him again. I saw him at NAMM and, you know, just get to chat with the guys about what they're working on, what they're thinking, how it's going. It was super cool. And I'm sure there are other manufacturers that do similar things. I'm not, by any stretch of my imagination, thinking RCF is the only company that does this kind of stuff. I'm sure a lot of companies do. So everybody who's listening that works for other manufacturers, I'm sure you're doing a great job too. I just happen to be through the RCF factory right now. And anybody at Meyer Adamson wants to go have us walk through, I'll say nice things about you too. If you're doing a good job. But I'm messing with you guys. But it was cool to, like, you know, just be able to kind of see it all and see that, like...
Yeah, well, and I didn't realize they were quite so, like, vertically integrated because I knew, like, the back of my brain, I think they make drivers for other people too, right?
They do. They used to make drivers for a lot of other people. And now that they make their own speakers, they make less drivers for other people. And they still have a couple of legacy clients, and they would not say legacy. I'm sorry. That was my words, not theirs. They still have a couple of clients that they make drivers for in their own boxes. You know what I mean? But once they started making their own enclosures and their own, you know, actual speaker product lines rather than raw drivers, let's say, their drivers for other manufacturers decreased significantly, which is, you know, understandable, right?
Yeah, and again, understandable from both sides that either they'd be like, we're going to focus on ours, so we both have to prioritize ours and don't want to focus on theirs. And I assume the other manufacturers being like, well, we don't want you competing with us and us being reliant on you, so we're going to go elsewhere. So I imagine it kind of goes both ways.
Totally.
I mean, that's, I almost feel like we could, like, spin off that into another direction of, like, where that fits into with, like, other aspects of our business too. You know, with, like, you know, when do you sub-rent a thing versus start providing it yourself and how, like, that works with relationships. I mean, we could almost spend a whole episode off on that. But
yeah, dude, totally. But it, like, at some point, if you're making enough drivers for other people, it makes sense to stay there. Or if you're making enough money selling your own speakers and the drivers are slowing down for other people, that, you know, that makes sense.
They lean into it.
Yeah, dude. I mean,
so, and, like, the QC you were saying, like, so are they, like, they're testing, like, the individual drivers and then testing the assembled boxes, like, at every stage, or is it, like, they're building the box?
Correct. Every single component gets tested before it's completed as an enclosure, and then that entire enclosure gets tested and signed off on and then shipped. So, like, every component of every speaker, let's say, right, unfortunately, I'm talking about speakers, every component of every speaker has been tested individually and then as a unit before it gets boxed up and shipped off to the customer. So it's all known and working. And in all of the inventory that we have personally purchased for them, because they have not sent me any free inventory, we've purchased it all. We have had zero failures. So I'm stoked on that. And I it's only been a year, so I can't say, like, oh, in all these years, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? But, like, there weren't any dead out of the box like I have had with other manufacturers, right? We had another manufacturer in about the same price point doing powered speakers. And we had a couple that were dead out of the box from the factory, and I've not had that experience with RCF, which was cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, dude, totally.
And I'm just picturing this Willy Wonka land of, like, you know, little old Italian nanas, like, cooking up speakers, which...
Yeah, dude, totally. That's not far off. It did not look like Wonka. It looked like a factory, right? Yeah. But, like, yeah, dude, absolutely. And it was all ages of people, you know what I mean? From young to old, but I was absolutely astounded as to how many women were in there just kicking ass and having a great time fantastic. And freaking rocking. It was great. And there was, you know, there were some dudes too, but that was my wife's first comment when we were there. She was like, dude, look how many women are here and they're all happy and kicking ass. And I'm like, yeah, dude, how cool. You know,
that's super cool. Cause, like, pretty, I feel like both audio and manufacturing industries where, like, that's not always the case. So
totally, dude,
it's awesome to call it out. And I know
totally.
Yeah. Like a lot of the, like, I'm thinking through, like, a bunch of women over the years that, like, famously were, like, kick-ass solderers and kick-ass, like, electronics assemblers. And it's cool to see that tradition going.
Yeah, dude, totally. But it was cool to be able to stop there and to, like, see what's up with it. We've, you know, I'm north of $100,000 invested into into this company at this point of products and product lines and stuff like that when we bought, you know, even though they're affordable and whatnot, you know, we needed a lot of speakers and subs and monitors and all kinds of stuff. So we bought for us, we're a small company, right? So for, you know, for us, that's a lot of freaking dough. You know what I mean? I weighed that carefully before I was like, yeah, no problem. Here's a hundo. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was very pleasantly surprised to walk through and go, man, this is great. You know, and I don't say that with any like anything other than just total appreciation for the company and the product line. You know what I mean? They just did a great job and we've been super excited about it. And it was a cool stop on then what I was able to then tag a few more days on for family vacation and go to Milan for a couple of days and have some killer espresso and go to Florence for a day and see some cool artwork and cathedrals and stuff. And we went to Naples and we got out of there as quick as we could because that was...
But did you lose that pizza in Naples?
Shit, yeah, we did, dude. Margarita pizza, because that's what was born after Queen Margarita. And it was delightful. But the city was a zoo. And, you know, like I said earlier, my kids are 6 and 9. So, you know, it was pretty rock and roll for having little kids with you. And we were like, yeah, we're going to go. And so we bailed out to Pompeii, which is like 30 minutes south of Naples. Or I don't know if it's south, but yeah, south-ish of Naples. And then just totally fell in love.
And if it's not south, we'll just turn the map around. And
Just flip that boot around, dog. Yeah. That's, you know, that's cool. Yeah. Somebody, you're the smart guy in the show. I'm just some fucking guy, right? But that was freaking beautiful, dude. Pompeii was awesome because we got to like go check it out. It's a much smaller city, which is cool, and it's super clean. Like one of the things that we noticed about Italy, and we went to the big cities like Milan and Rome and stuff. So it, you know, it's some of it's a lot of big city stuff, but like there was hella graffiti everywhere, hella. And I, you know, I live just outside of Seattle and you're in New York. So graffiti is not something that you're like, oh, I've never seen that before in my life. You know what I mean? Like there's plenty of that, but it just seemed like an unusual amount of graffiti in my opinion, you know, and Pompeii had none of that. It was super clean. Almost like, have you ever been to Salt Lake City here in the United States? Like where you're like extra clean. You're like, is this a city or is this like a museum in here? Like this?
Yes. You know. Yes. It's both. Yeah.
But it's super clean, right? Yeah. Pompeii was like that. And so we, you know, they had this cute little street to walk down. It had like the kids could just run around and we weren't fearful they were going to get freaking hit by a moving scooter. Cause that was the other thing. It's like, man, them scooter drivers be ripping through Italy. I didn't realize it, but like somebody said, driving in Italy is an adventure. And I was like, yo man, driving in Italy is a fucking sport, dude. Like, they got it down. There's unwritten rules that I would love to learn and get hip to it. Cause there was no accidents that I could see. There was no like, extra traffic jams or problems. They were ripping, but they all knew the unwritten rules and it was not stay in your lane because they were crossing lanes. They were like zigzagging it out of cars that, you know, it, like it seemed like chaos until we'd been there a few days. And I was like, nope, this is organized chaos and everybody knows the rules but me. And I would love to learn the rules, you know.
That's it. I've been on many job sites like that.
Totally, dude. Totally.
I almost wonder if, like, in Pompeii, is it so clean? Because just do you think the parents go around and are like, if you don't clean up, the volcano will erupt again?
Yeah, right. Totally, dude. Totally. But they basically built a city around the ruins, right? So you can go, like, have this cool vacation city that's super cute and then go see the archaeological ruins, which was my wife's important part. That's what she wanted to see was she loves ancient ruins and stuff. And so we got, you know.
Explains why you two are together.
Yeah, 100%. Bro, look at the gray in this beard, dude. I'm fucking ancient, dog. I remember waking up one morning. Yeah, same. Like, did you, you know, and the rest of the, you know, there's other guys our age on there. You know, you wake up one morning, you're like, who is the fucking old guy in the mirror with the gray hair? You know, like, I used to be young and handsome, and now what's up with the gray hair and the beard, dude?
I think somewhere in my attic, there's a picture of me getting younger and prettier by the day. Yeah. Sorry, apologies to Family Guy for stealing that bit.
Yeah, right. Totally. But it was cool to like go see all the ruins and like, I don't know why in our culture, and I don't know if it's, you know, all of society or just us here, but like, I don't know why we're obsessed with death and why Pompeii is so attractive because they got leveled by a fucking volcano. But it was a cool experience to walk through and see this whole city, dude, this whole like houses and buildings and stuff and like learn how they lived and be able to walk through the different houses and like, here's the, you know, basically here's the elites or the upper class or the rich or whatever you want to call them, right? And here's how their houses would have been built or constructed, and walk through, you know, some that were totally, not totally demolished, but pretty freaking demolished, and some that were well enough preserved that you could kind of like put it together and go, man, I could see how this would be, or you know what I mean, and go like, yeah.
I mean, I wonder if, like, I guess that's got to be the thing, because like so many of the like historical sites we go to are like reconstructions off of drawings or what we can piece together, totally. And like there's parts of that that are literally like flash frozen in time,
dude, totally. And then like, dude, seeing some of this, you know, I got educated on this tour, man, you know, or not tour, but on this trip, you know, it was pretty, how do I say this carefully? Not carefully. It was.
I had thought about the Vespa joke I was going to make before, no, but the option was to just not tell it.
Yeah, make the joke. This is one of, one of my first times in Europe, right? I've been to France once before. This is one of my first times in Europe. Here in America, we are a young country. A few hundred years of, you know.
Dumbassery.
Yeah, 1,000%. I'm glad you said it and I didn't have to be that guy. But to go someplace that has thousands and thousands of years of not only like traditions, but history and artwork and cathedrals and buildings or whatever, like it was pretty awe-inspiring, dude. And like we went and did the Last Supper tour, you know what I mean? And my wife and I are not terribly religious. So this was not a religious thing for us. And I don't want to go down that road. We're not for, against, whatever. I'm not going down that. I'm just saying like, we didn't go, oh my God, the Last Supper. I can't wait to see this thing. It was like, we were stoked about Leonardo da Vinci. You know what I mean? To go learn about history or whatever. Right.
Yeah.
Walking into that room that had a 500 plus year old, I don't even know what the math is. Somebody will correct me. That's fine. But like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years old, that lived through world wars, that got bombed in World War II and is still there. And you can go look at it. Just like, it sent chills up our spine, dude. My wife and I just looked at each other like, holy shit, dude. Like, you know what I mean? That's freaking incredible. It was cool. You know what I mean? And then to go like, be able to stand in the arena at Pompeii, like you can walk into the arena on the arena floor and look around and see what they would have seen on the thing. And that was like, holy shit, dude. You know what I mean? We did not have time to go into the arena, into the Colosseum in Rome. We got to walk around it, and that thing is fucking massive, dude. That makes, you know, Safeco Field here look like a freaking child's play. But I imagine the same kind of thing. You just walk, look at it, and go, dude, holy crap. And this all got built before there was, like, you know, excavators and bulldozers and cranes and shit. Like, there was more rudimentary tools. I know they had stuff other than their, you know, they had some kind of tools, but it wasn't like we got now to like build a bunch of stuff. So a lot of these took a long time to make. And it was just like, to be able to design and build something that massive before we had, you know, CAD and all this kind of stuff. Like, it was just cool to think about what that would have taken, to what an undertaking that was to get those accomplished, you know. It was pretty awe-inspiring to see, you know. And it was cool to chat with some of the people there and go, hey man, is this lost on you? Like, you live here, you see this every day. Are you like, eh, I'm over it? Or is it still pretty cool? And they were like, no, man, a little bit of both. Like, when you see it every day, it like the newness wears off, right? Cause it was new for us. But like, a lot of them still were like, no, man, we totally get how important this is, which is why we try to take care of it or whatever. You know, it was just cool. Yeah. It was a really cool experience through and through. And the kids had a blast, you know?
I've just got this like cartoon going in my head of a bunch of like old Roman engineers being, we didn't need measurements or computers. We built it the hard way. We used our eyes and our ears.
Right? Totally. But it was unbelievable, dude. You know what I mean? To walk into some of these churches or chapels or whatever and see the intricate details that were in the art and design and on the ceilings and stuff was just, it was freaking awe-inspiring, dude. It was unfreaking believable, you know? And to think that those were done, like some of those took years to do, right? Just like the ceilings or the paintings or whatever took like 4 years, 6 years, 10 years, you know, long time for some of these artists to do. To just be laying on your back painting a ceiling for 4 years, that's what you did. You just went to work, built some scaffolding that you built because nobody else knew how to do it or whatever. Like you just figured out how to get up there and started painting freehand all the way across this whole church ceiling. Like, holy crap, what an undertaking, you know?
And yeah, although you wonder if it would have taken 3 years, except the last year Da Vinci was sitting there doing whatever the painter was like, God damn it, my snare still sucks.
Yeah, yeah, right. Totally, totally. Yeah. Just try not to be half crazy and half freaking a genius, you know?
Yeah.
But like, it was just cool, dude. It was just cool. And we, you know, it's funny. We met like some people when we were in Rome that, you know, we were chatting along and they were chatting. You know, you can't really sit that far apart. Everything's pretty close. You know what I mean? And so you're overhearing everybody's conversation and they were like, you know, hey, it's pretty cool that you brought your kids. Like they seem, you know, little for traveling this far and trucking through the cities and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, you know, man, it was a lot of extra dough to bring the kids. It was originally just going to be my wife and I, you know, we thought, man, it'll be cool to bring the kids, but what a cool experience for them to do. And our thought really is like, it's real hard to grow up and be an asshole. If you can travel around the world and realize that people are just people, man, all doing people stuff. You know what I mean? It's real easy to get caught up in whatever's happening in the news or whatever's happening online or whatever somebody's saying, you know, but when you're walking around a totally different country of people that surprisingly do a good job of speaking a second language, right? Speaking our language, because there's a lot of Italian spoken, but man, I was impressed about how many people, or not impressed. I was thankful for how many people spoke English. So it made our getting around there real easy. You know, not, I shouldn't have said impressed, but thankful. And to just see that, like, dude, everybody's just people doing people stuff, man. You know, and it's cool that the kids can see that. And so, you know, when somebody says, oh, this, that, the other thing about this, that, the other thing. And you're like, yeah, man, we've been there. We know different. Like, they're just freaking trying to, you know, raise their kids and have a good life and do people stuff, you know? So it was cool to have a multifaceted trip, you know what I mean? That wasn't just like dad going to do some work stuff, you know what I mean? But yeah, the kids got to have a fun adventure and, you know, get to go learn some worldly stuff, which was cool.
Yeah, that's cool. And also they get to see a little bit about like what goes into dad's work.
Totally. Yeah. And they had a blast running around the test field. That was yeah, definitely like after being on a plane for so long, they were stoked to be like, it was a huge open grass field, like not quite right, football field size, but almost, you know what I mean? That had scaffolding at one end. They had the GTX 12 rig hung there. And so they were just like ripping all over the field, like being crazy kids, because, you know, kids being cooped up in a plane for in damn near 24 hours was they had to let some steam out, and it was great.
That's awesome.
Yeah, dude, totally.
Well, and the shop didn't burn down while you were away?
The guys held it down here. I'm fortunate to have a good team. You know what I mean? We're a small but mighty shop, as it were, of cats that everybody's working pretty closely together. And so I was able to just let them do their thing and didn't have to micromanage anybody. And I got to go take some days, which was great, dude. You know what I mean? The gigs got done.
Have you taken like days away before and like let them run, or was this like the first big time of like, yo, I'm going to be gone for a couple weeks?
Oh, this is the first time I've taken time off, period. Yeah. Damn. Like I went back to work on my wedding night, bro. I've been fucking ripping for a decade, and this is our first vacation, period. You know what I mean? Other than to go see the grandparents.
I understand the craze now.
Yeah, yeah, totally. And so we were freaking just stoked, dude. We were stoked to go have a time. And I came back, you know, exhausted from the travel, but mentally refreshed and feeling a whole lot better. So, you know, while a lot of this is, you know, I've been chatting about RCF, it also ties into our mental health episode last time that, you know, anybody that's hung out for more than 2.5 seconds in the Discord server or listened to our show knows that I'm not really like, you know, super chatty about mental health stuff, but it was fucking good for me to go, dude. I was pretty burnt out, and like I've been going hard into the paint, like I've to be honest with you, like I've never seen anybody else do in my life to ensure that my family did not flounder, you know what I mean? To ensure that we had success. And I don't say that to put anybody else down, just that, like, you know, freaking, I've been working my freaking ass off for a decade, and it was cool to go have a vacation and have something to show for that rather than just a shop full of gear. You know what I mean?
And yeah, that's important, man.
Go do something with my children and my wife and have fun and laugh and, you know, find my smile, as it were, you know what I mean? Just have some freaking, have some cool time, dude, and get some of that mental health back and not be so burnt out. Like, you know, I was so burnt out before I left that I didn't realize I was burnt out. It was just the normal state. It was just my normal state of fucking, you know what I mean?
Been there.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people have, right? I'm not unique in that, man. I'm just some fucking dude doing dude things, trying to raise some kids and support a family and stay on that divorce prevention program. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and I mean, that's the big thing. And that's a little of what, you know, I was talking about with Kenny when he came on the other week, and the thing I'm dealing with now is, you know, like, I knew I was like burning out at the one job, and then, you know, like the back half of last year was like much happier with work, but just the schedule was relentless. And then now trying to find that balance of like balancing enough freelance to like keep paying the mortgage and keep paying all the things you need and doing the things we want and take care of the dogs, but also have time to breathe and like be home. And
totally, man. And it's, you know, like, what a crazy business we've chosen. Just flat out, it's fucking crazy, because half of it, you know, and I don't know, I don't have a way to like keep on topic, so I'm just gonna fucking ramble. But like, half of it is like technical science, right? This will work this way. This is how this does. Half of it's fucking art. You know what I mean? If you're mixing take something like mixing a concert, right? Mixing for a band or whatever. Half of that is technical. Let's say, and I don't know that it's half, but you know, just for fucking conversation's sake, the angles on the PA have to be right, has to be pointed in the right direction, has to be tuned well, has to be in polarity, has to blah, 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 right? All the things that we've talked at ad nauseum. Half of that is artistic, right? The person at front of house, or it could be ears or whatever. How does it sound? Do I like it? Does the audience like it? Are they reacting to it well, right? Blah, 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 blah. So there is a lot of like, second guessing, there's room for second guessing yourself in there, right? There's room for like, am I really good at this? Or can I do this? Or blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? And, you know, I'll speak for myself, and I'm sure I'm not alone, that like, my clients keep hiring me. So it's got to be good enough, or they wouldn't keep hiring me, right? I think my mixes sound great. But at the same time, any one of our listeners who's a competent engineer would come in and go, I'd do it better. I could do it different. I would do it, right? And that's just part of our job. And so that is taxing on a person, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it was nice to just go like, okay, I'm going to turn that part off and just go think about espresso and learn about freaking croissants and espresso, because that was freaking delightful. And I have a whole new appreciation for coffee once I've gotten back, and the French press ain't doing it anymore. Damn it.
This one wasn't even my fault.
Yeah, right. No, not your fault.
As I've been not your fault,
but between you and Ryan, I'm going to be fucking broke at the end of this conversation about coffee.
Oh, man, I'm sure I have an espresso machine in my basement that's been waiting on a new gasket and like half taken apart for a number of years. And we've been talking about maybe trying to repair it and see if trade the coffee machine in the kitchen out for that, because there's only space for one. But like the missus has been on a latte kick lately, so I was like, maybe we do that.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
But we'll see.
But you know, back to the, like, you know, I'm not known for being a softie and being real introspective either in life or, you know, or in the community here. So I won't dwell on it too long, because nobody wants to hear me freaking going on and on about it. But it was cool, man. You know what I mean? And I didn't realize until a lot of, you know, until the community kind of helped me as I was reading through different things, that, you know, maybe I did need a break. Maybe I did need some time away. And so that was kind of the inspiration of the trip. To tie it all back together, that was kind of the inspiration of the trip, right? To come back to full circle here, was like, I was just going to keep working, man. And I read some of the mental health posts and read some people, and, you know, we did that episode with the guy that was like, hey, man, you got a fucking life balance, or you might go berserk. And I was kind of feeling a little berserk in the dome, dude. You know what I mean? And I was just like, you know, all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And, it's like the frog in the pot of boiling water, right?
Yeah, yeah, totally. Dude. It was fully a rolling boil, bro. And I had no idea, right?
Yeah. For those who don't know what I'm talking about, that's the, you know, you toss a frog into a pot of boiling water, he's going to hop right out because it's boiling. But you put a frog in a pot of room temperature water and you slowly bring it up to a boil, it's going to be a while before that frog suddenly is like, fuck, is this, am I soup? I think I'm soup. Fuck.
I'm soup.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, and I was, you know, mentally I was feeling like soup and just couldn't figure it out, man. I was like, I don't fucking know what to do. I don't know what's going on. And so it all just kind of came to fruition where, like, we, you know, we did that episode about mental health, and I was kind of going, I don't really know, man. I don't really get too into that kind of thing. And in an unknown, you know, kind of tangent or whatever, Tarek reached out and was like, well, if you ever want to go see the freaking factory, I could set up a tour. And I was like, yeah, dude, yes, I do want to go see the factory. Yes, I would like a tour. And by the way, after that's done, I'm going to tag on a few more days so that the family can go see some stuff, and we're going to get out of here for a while. You know what I mean? And so, you know, we got a little bit of work. We got a little work done, but it was pretty light duty, you know, work. It was a lot of like checking it out. Also, they have a cool demo room there. To side tangent back to work here, I'm sorry for just being scattered all over the place, but they got a cool demo room. So I was able to listen to a lot of their speakers, you know what I mean? A lot of the different models of speakers, and like back and forth real easily and seamlessly with the same tracks. And so I was able to like
something a little nicer than just a big echoey warehouse.
Yeah, dude, totally. And so it was cool to hear some of them and how like a lot of them have the same sonic signature across the family, and find a few that I was like, okay, I'm not going to add those to inventory. You know what I mean? But over there's probably 100 speakers in that room. There was like maybe two where I was like, okay, it was easy enough for me to remember, like, those are the ones to not have inventory. And, you know, the rest of them were all pretty cool. And that was,
and not even necessarily that they're bad. They just don't fit in with the rest of what you got.
No, it just doesn't fit what I need. None of them were bad. It was just like, oh man, I thought this was going to be a cool solution, and it's a tool intended for an entirely different use case than I had, right? It was not like, this is not good. It was like, oh man, I was thinking this is going to be perfect, and it is actually for an entirely different market segment or use case, and it's not going to work for one reason or another for me, right? But after that, to then be able to like, okay, cool, work mode done. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Phone off. Emails forwarded to my project manager, my production manager. You know what I mean? I'm thankful because my production manager, Garrett's just a fucking ripper, dude. He's just a badass. So, you know, I can just be like, hey, dude, it's on you for 9 days. Good luck. Click bye. And it was, you know, all seamless and smooth, you know. But, you know, to kind of come back to the mental health thing, like to just then have a few days of vacation, I could not believe how just a couple days I started to be like less crabby at the kids and more just like, everything's okay, dude. Nothing's, you know, less tense and less like just wound tight. You know what I mean? And it was a good learning experience for me, not only just because of the fucking awesome scenery and stuff, but, you know, there's a lot more to mental health than I had ever given credit for until I experienced it myself, is basically what I'm saying. You know what I mean?
I gotcha. I dig it. And that's the thing. And like, I've been more vocal about it lately the last couple of years, just as I've become aware of it myself. And also, I think like the platform we have here, I think part of what you and I have to do here is to like pull out the things that we don't even necessarily think about and help like bring them to everybody else's attention too. Like I think it's fair to say you and I are not experts on everything, and that's not the point of us being here. Like, you know, we're learning with everybody, and like mental health is one of those big areas that our industry has been really shitty about, and like a lot of us get that way of like just plugging away and plugging away. And like
1,000%, dude.
I mean, we went on vacation to Iceland in January, and like it was only like 4 or 5 days. It wasn't a lot, but it was enough to just like kind of hit reset and chill out and
totally,
yeah, just come back refreshed and ready to go and show off cool pictures.
Totally, dude. Totally. And you know, we're in an industry where, you know, you're saying we're not good about mental health. We're in an industry where like, some of that is our fault or our industry's fault, and some of that is just the nature of the beast. Because I feel like no matter what we want to do or say about mental health or this is too stressful or whatever, like, show's at 8, dude. I don't know what to fucking tell you. Like, it's got to get done. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
If you're on show day and you're loading in, like, doors are at 7, show's at 8, or, you know, whatever that collectively mm-hmm. really is. But, like, there is an event happening, whether you're feeling peachy about yourself or not.
Mm-hmm.
It is time to put on your big girl or big boy shorts and get her did today. You know what I mean?
Like, yep.
That is how it goes. Now, that doesn't mean that the next 2 days you can't be like, well, I'm going to veg out and play video games and mm-hmm. freaking don't call, don't write. You know what I mean? Send me a postcard if you need something.
I did a crazy cool gig the other week that, like, we wrapped up well past midnight and on show day, and I got home and I disappeared for a chunk of a day. Just not even I needed to hide. I was just fucking tired.
Yeah, dude, totally.
But that was the gig I did the other week that I needed Secret Service clearance for.
There you go, dude. Totally. But I've never allowed myself that time, right? I've never allowed myself that. I've been doing 12 to 18 hour days for a decade, and I have several 24 hour work days every single year, right? And I don't mean like, oh, I had one time and it was long. I mean, like, I got two to four 20 hour work days every single year, and every other day is 10 to 18 hours a day, right? Just like a lot of us. And I mm-hmm. again, I don't say that to be special, because I'm just a fucking dude doing dude things, right? Trying to freaking feed my family. But, like, I did not allow myself to have off days or downtime or whatever, because when I get home, I got to go be dad. I got to go, you know what I mean? To be a husband, try to be a whole person to these people that have had their own lives and doing their own things. And so it was... It's been craziness, dude. And it was just wonderful to be able to, like, connect with my family and spend that time and go. And it was a learning experience in mental health and in relationships. And it was awesome, dude. It was awesome.
That's really cool. And, like, and I'm glad you had that chance too. And I know we all missed you for a couple episodes here, but I'm glad you got to take the time off. And And I mean, I'm going to do the same soon too. So
totally, dude. And, you know, like, you got to find that balance. And I would say, you know, as somebody who has fucking been way out of balance for years in that particular regard, find it sooner rather than later. You know what I mean? When you're first starting out, you know, because we got a lot of people at all kinds of different skill levels and places in their career here in our audience. But, like, when you're first starting out, you don't have a choice, man. You got to be absolutely blindly obsessed with getting good at this. There's so much to know and so much to learn. It's fucking overwhelming. And you got to be just tunnel vision, unbelievably fucking obsessed to get good fast enough, to get hired enough, to make enough money. You know what I mean? But the trick is going to be to figure out when you can, like, all right, man, I don't need to have the turbo on and the nitrous kicked in at the same time to be going this fast. I can, like, let off the pedal enough just to be running freeway speed and learning at a faster than normal pace, but not an obsessive pace or whatever, right? To, like, I'm going to take a day off and go hiking. I'm going to go freaking go to the beach or go surfing or just stare at a fucking wall for the day or whatever. You know what I mean? Whatever it mm-hmm. is to, like, keep in a good spot, you know?
That's awesome. And,
you know, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no.
I just, like, I never thought about that balance. You know what I mean? I never thought about my own, like, mental health or what I needed. You know what I mean? And I just needed a freaking break, dude. You know? And I know we didn't plan to talk about that today or whatever, but, like, and I didn't, you know, to be honest with you, I didn't even know I was going to talk about that until it just came out. Cause, like, it didn't all click until we just started chatting about it.
Yeah.
You know,
I dig it. And I think and hope folks listening will dig it too. Cause it is an important thing. And sometimes you realize it yourself in time, and sometimes hearing somebody else realize it can kind of kick that off too. And, you know, I mean, I know we've kind of had a heavy focus on, like, a lot of the non-sound things lately, like some mental health, like talking with Kenny about relationships and Bailey about money. And I do want to assure people we are still an audio podcast, and we got some cool stuff coming up, you know, the next handful of episodes.
Oh, dude, we got some nerd shit coming down the pipe in the next few episodes.
Yeah,
Andy's lined up some nerd shit. Yep. So if you're here for that, hang on, here it comes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we got some like some people who mix like symphonic shit live. We got like some top rock and roll folks, some old school cool. Like we're working on lining somebody up that one of our former guests recommended, who is. Y'all are going to dig when you hear who this guy mixes, but till we have it booked and recorded, and I'm not going to tell you, I'm just going to tease you there, but somebody with some, like, awesome rock creds going back 30-something years and bands you have heard of that's going to be cool.
Totally. But you know what, man? Like, I think it's okay, and I hope everybody else, I hope everybody else agrees too, but, like,
yeah,
there's so much more to this industry than just the nerd audio shit. Like, we're all people too, dude. You know what I mean? And I know that sounds weird coming from me because I'm not the most introspective of cats, but like a lot of this all ties together. You know what I mean? And that's really kind of what I wanted to say today was like, it's all tied together, right? Your technical ability, your creative ability, your, can't believe I say it out loud more than once in this episode, but your mental health, you know what I mean? Like it's all tied together because you got to be at your best at all times for your clients. And so, you know, like, freaking! I mean,
we're gonna see if the powers that be will let us title this episode "Sean Gets Touchy Feely."
Nah, dog.
Nah. Does that go against the restraining order?
Yeah. No, I don't have any restraining orders. I'm good. But but I can't go back to that one school that one time. You know. But
yeah. We kid.
Yeah. 1,000%. No, dude. But it was just like. It was a learning week for me, which was cool, dude. And I learned a lot of things I didn't even know I wanted to, needed to, or was going to learn. You know, I thought I was going to see some artwork with the wife and kids, and I came back a whole fucking refreshed new person, dude. It was pretty amazing.
And I mean, let's encourage everybody else then, like, take some breaks, take some vacations, take the time you need to make sure you're doing well.
Yeah.
And when I think we burn out, our work pays too.
I think that'll be the point of this episode, dude, is like, go do you, dude. You know what I mean? Like, or do that, right? Dude or do that. Go do you. Like, when you're at work, somebody one time, I'm sure I'm going to misquote this, but that's okay. You're used to that from me by now. Like, work hard, play hard, don't alibi, produce, right? It was like the Baba Black Sheep or somebody in World War II, some squadron in World War II, right? I had the work hard, don't alibi, produce part going. I didn't have the play hard part going. You know what I mean? And
yep, you got to balance it out.
Rebalancing is going to be great for me. You know what I mean?
That's so awesome. I'm looking forward to checking back in and seeing what we're doing, and we'll keep us both honest, and listeners will too.
Yeah. Learn from my mistakes, dude. Go get that balance ahead of time. You know,
right on. Cool. Well, I guess we'll wrap it there then, and we'll come back. Like I said, we got a bunch of really cool episodes coming up with some cool sound folks again. Some other non-sound stuff coming up too. We got. A good friend of mine who's a historically accomplished Broadway like Tony winning sound designer that we're going to talk to in the next few weeks. Some really cool shit coming. And we'll be back with that next week.
Dude. Thank you to Alan and Heath. Obviously, huge thanks to RCF for, you know, not only sponsoring the pod but also like having me out to check out their zone and being so accommodating and stuff. We appreciate you guys huge. And we'll see you guys next week. That's the pod.
Take care, everybody. What we do is a combination of physics and art. So we might call it
a fart. Come on, dude. I'll say it.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, we are full of hot air.